a little bit about the Word before we start, and then we're going to turn to Romans 1:16, the Word of God. Jesus is the Word made flesh and dwelt among us. Paul says in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, the Word of God is quick, powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder the spirit, the soul, and the joints and the marrow, and is the discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. St. John 6:63 said, it is the spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. Well, I want you to notice those scriptures are describing the Word of God, and Jesus is the Word made flesh, and He dwelt among us. But think of the power. I want to think about the power of the Word. The Word is the power of God unto salvation. But think like this. The Word is what created the world. He said, in the beginning, God created the heaven and earth. How did He do it? He spoke it into existence. Then there was darkness upon the face of the deep, and He spoke in light. Let there be light. And there was light. That's the Word of God. You see, sometimes we don't realize, and we just can't, with our carnal mind, we cannot communicate with God because that we don't understand the power that's in the Word. Now, you talk about atomic bombs and hydrogen bombs and all these things that they've got invented. They're powerful, all right, but think about the Word. The Word is there to what? Create. Get this. I want everybody to get this. The Word is here to create. These other things that the carnal mind figures out are there to do what? Destroy. Now get that. Get it. Create, destroy. The Word of God created. How many knows God created man from the dust of the earth? Then He breathed in his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. God created that man. Everything that God does is creative. But anything that somebody else, someone does, or these big scientists and all, it's destructive. They're figuring out something to destroy. If I can just destroy that city, or I can just destroy that person, I can just destroy this, or I can destroy that. But see, God doesn't do that. God wants to create. He has to create in us a new heart. He has to create something in our mind. He has to put His Word in our mind that the soul might be saved. Now I want you to look here and let's read in Romans chapter 1, verse 16, maybe read a couple of three verses there. Paul speaking here. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God. It is the power of God unto salvation. To everyone that believeth, and to the Jew first, and also the Greek. Verse 17, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed. Now, the righteousness of God is revealed in the Word of God from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Verse 18, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men, who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Now, what we want to speak on tonight is simply this, kind of a continuation from this morning. Victory, or the ultimate triumph. Victory means the ultimate triumph. Our people that goes overseas and fights now, they just fight till a draw, and the government won't let them win the war. But you see, in the World War II, when all the soldiers and sailors and everybody came back from over there, they had this, we won. See, we need to be winners in the Word of God. And if we'll just get this ammunition, which is called the Word of God, God will give us the power to carry that and distribute it where it's needed, and God will do great things that you know not of. So victory is the ultimate triumph, the ultimate triumph. So I want to turn over to a few scriptures here just a minute. We're going to talk about we'll not take too long tonight, but let's talk about some things. Revelation chapter 3 and verse 21 says, to him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne. Now, wouldn't you like to have this? Even as I have overcame and sat down with my Father in his throne. Jesus says here himself, if we're overcomers, he will grant us to sit down with him in his throne as he has overcome and sat down with his Father in his throne. That's a pretty good thing, isn't it? Read it again. To him that overcometh, will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I have overcame and sat down with my Father in his throne. Now, I want to talk a little bit about this here ultimate triumphant victory. That's what it is. Now, everything that we go about, we should be triumphant over it. I've learned this right now. If we have a little failure, work on the weak parts instead of the strong parts. Now, let's take a look right here. Let's go to Psalms 44, verse 5. And he's talking about the Lord here. Through thee will we push down our enemies. Through the name will we tread them under that rise up against us. Listen to that. Through thee will we push down our enemies. Through him will we push down our enemies. Let's turn our Bibles to another one. To Luke chapter 10 and verse 19. Behold, I give unto you power to tread upon serpents and scorpions, and over the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Boy, that's a promise, ain't it? What about I give you power to tread upon serpents, scorpions, and over the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you? No wonder the Apostle Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation, first to the Jew and then to the Greek. And whosoever believeth, if we can believe these things, if thou can believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. St. John 7:38 said, he that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. This spake he of the Spirit, that they that believe on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. How many knows the power that's in our hand? The Holy Ghost. Acts chapter 1 verse 8 said, ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and the uttermost part of the earth. Look at the power that we've already talked about here. But I found out one thing, that every bit of it has to be acted upon or it doesn't work. How many knows what the Acts of the Apostles is? That's the Acts of the Word of God in that day, the Acts. What are our Acts today? Our Acts should be the same. He didn't bring our power level down. He's boosting it all time, if we could just see that. Romans 8:35 said, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or the sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all day long, and we are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Verse 37, nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors. Get that? We are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Paul said, for I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor power, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus. Nothing. Nothing shall be able to. If we hang into that, we're overcomers. In all these things, he said, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Now, I don't know about you, but that tells me that we've got powers, reserve powers, somewhere that we can latch hold of that we're not using. I look at people in the church today, and I see that the power of God's not working in the church like it used to, and the reason is because people are not using or not getting full of the Word of God where they can use the Word of God for the power of God unto salvation. When they get sick, you can use that. You can be healed. Somebody said, I'll have to call somebody to pray. Why won't we do it? We're supposed to have the same power. Everybody has the same ability to get that power. So Romans chapter 5 said, now, we're talking about conquering. Let's go to one more here in 1 John 5 and 4. Get back over here and go get to that. 1 John 5 and 4. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. How many is born again? Huh? It says that we overcome the world. In other words, that's the purpose. Are we doing it? That's up to us. Overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even what? I want you to get that. This is the victory that overcomes the world, the victory overcomes the world for me through Bobby. No. This is the victory that overcomes the world through what? Whose faith? Let's all say my faith. My faith. We're not going to depend on somebody else's faith, but we're going to have faith ourselves. This is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Now, we have some overcoming to do, and I'm going to get into some of these here. And I want to go to the 15th chapter of 1 Corinthians here and talk about the last thing that we overcome is death. A man believes that we're going to have to be conquerors over death. If we're not, we're just not going to be no more. And I believe there is a hereafter, don't you? Well, let's go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and look what it says here in verse 54. So when this corruptible, that's this body, shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying as it is written, death is swallowed up in what? I use this in funerals a lot. Death is swallowed up in what? In victory. In triumphal victory. In other words, the triumph, the ultimate victory, death is swallowed up in that victory. What is the victory? This is the victory that overcometh the world. What? Even what? Whose faith? Let's say my faith. This is the victory that overcometh the world, even your faith. Your faith, my faith. That's what's going to do it even in the end time, in the end of our life, in the last part of our days. We're going to have the victory. Okay? Let's go to verse 55. And here's what he's going to say. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? In other words, O grave, you ain't going to hold me down. O grave, I'll be coming out of here. You can put me down here. O death, where is thy sting? There's stings here. But this is the victory that overcomes our faith. And that's going to cause us to come out ultimately triumphal in all these things. In all these things, we're what? More than, who's going to separate us from the love of God? No. In all these things, we're more than conquerors. Through our faith, your faith, and where I'm at is my faith. Now, I'm preaching the word. How many knows how faith comes? The reason I preach a lot of the word is because it's by faith. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing, Romans 10 says, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word. So I'm trying to establish faith in you as well as myself. When I preach the word to myself, it establishes faith. Faith comes by hearing. It don't say it comes by reading. It says it comes by hearing. Now, knowledge comes by reading, and it helps and it strengthens your faith. But faith comes by hearing. And this ear's got to hear it. It's got to enter into our spiritual heart. And it's got to be a faith that overcomes the world in us. I can't overcome the world for you. I can tell you how. I can tell you what does it. But you have to overcome the world for yourself. You can't overcome the world for me. I have to overcome the world by myself. That's the last song they sang, you know, you got to walk this lonesome valley. You got to walk it all by yourself. I can't die for you. You can't die for me. We all got to walk it ourselves. But thanks be to God, which gives us the victory. I go around all day, thanks be to God, which gives me the victory. Somebody said, don't you worry? Why worry? If I catch myself worrying, I'm going to stop it right then. Not going to worry another day. I'm going to get rid of it right then, or as quick as possible. O death, where is thy sting? Then verse 56 said, the sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. The sting of death is sin. So the sin is the sting. The sting is sin. The sin, the sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. Verse 57, here we go again. But thanks be to God. That makes me want to shout. I'm reading about death, and I want to shout. But thanks be to God, which giveth the victory through the Lord Jesus Christ. I go around and say, thanks be to God, which gives me the victory. You can go around, thanks be to God, which gives us the victory. That what? That overcomes. It overcomes. Thanks be to God, which gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. It's the victory that overcomes the world. And what is it? Let's go back to it again. Even our what? Faith. Somebody said, why do you preach so long? I like saying it. It don't say faith comes by singing. It says faith coming by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Right now, these old singing got you ready for it. I love singing. I love to sing myself. I love to hear good singing. We got good singing here. But I'll tell you what, if victory comes by overcoming the world by our faith, and that faith comes by the seed that's sown, the good seed that's sown by a minister that's full of the power of God, full of the Holy Ghost, and full of this, and it brings a real faith. The Bible speaks of the unadulterated word of God. In other words, it's not mixed with anything. It's the pure word of God. That's why I like to preach the pure word of God. I don't want the adulterated word of God. I want the unadulterated word of God. Adulterated means it's mixed with something else. You know, faith and sin don't mix. It's kind of like oil and water. You pour some oil in water, what's going to happen to the oil? It's going to come to the top. It won't mix. You can stir it with an egg beater or whatever you want to. When it's all settled down, the oil will be on top and the water's below. That's a principle. And the principles of this that we're overcomers. We just got to go back to the principle. The principle is wisdom. By wisdom, we understand that the world was framed by the word of God. Verse 58, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Those are promises that's in God's word that every Christian ought to get a hold, hang in there on them. Now, talking about being victorious, like David, now, our victories come through our faith. And David said to Saul, he said, I will go out against Goliath, this uncircumcised Philistine. And Saul offered him his sword and he offered him his armor. And David said, I cannot use them because I haven't proved them. But he took his sling and he got 5 smooth stones and put in the pouch. And when he got to the giant, he said, you come to me in your... Now listen, this man was 9 foot tall. And he was a mighty man of war. And he said, you come to me and I'll tear you to pieces. I'll break you apart. But David said, you come to me with your staves and your spear, but and I come to you in the name of the Lord. In other words, he used the word on him. Yeah, I come to you in the name of the Lord. And he put that smooth stone out of the pouch in the sling. I come to you in the name of the Lord. What happened? Huh? Goliath fell to the ground. That's the victory we're talking about. What did he do with him? He went, got his sword. Now, Saul was up there waiting. He just know David was a goner. David said, but I'm going. And said, I'll get the job done. And so David went down and he cut the giant's head off and carried it up to Saul. How many believes that was a victory of David's faith? You know what he said? I just believe I can take him. I just believe I can handle it. I just believe through the power of God, the word of God, and that smooth stone, that represented the word of God. How many knows Jesus is a stone, huh? And he's a smooth stone, and it goes straight. So David, that's it. But he had to enact that. He had to really have it in him. He had to really believe that he could do it. He had to really believe that God would see him through it and believe that when he slung that stone, it would find its mark. It had to make a good mark because it had to hit right there to put him down. It hit right there, sunk, it says, in his forehead. Now, let's go one more. Elijah. Well, Ezekiel won the War of the Bones over in the Valley of Dry Bones, remember, in the 37th chapter of the book of Ezekiel. God says to Ezekiel, he's out there with all these bones, a whole valley full, and God said, this is the whole house of Israel. They're dead. They're bones. And God asked Ezekiel, can these bones live? Ezekiel said, I don't know, Lord, you know. You know what God told Ezekiel to do? He said, you preach to those bones. You prophesy to those bones. He started preaching to those bones. Those bones begin to rattle, and the bones begin to find where they belong. They already knew where they belong, and they begin to connect to the knee bone, to the ankle bone, and on down to the foot, the toes, and all the bones begin to come together on all these, and then God breathed upon them, and sinews came upon them, and they stood upon their feet, an army. Great. How did he do that? He listened to God. He believed what God said. God said, preach. Don't you know people would have made fun of him? Say, look at that silly thing out there preaching to a valley full of dry bones. Huh? God said it. Ezekiel said, it must work. I'll try it. And it worked. I can see another place of Elijah. He meets with the false prophets and the prophets of Baal and the ones that Jezebel have trained up her way to be honoring mean and all that kind of thing. So he met there with them on this mountain there, and he said, you get your sacrifice, which this is a showdown day, and you get your sacrifice ready first. Well, they got all their sacrifice ready. They built their altar. They put their sacrifice on it, and they began to march around. Elijah got his ready, you know, and his sacrifice and everything, and they done all their dance around there. They cut themselves. They done everything they thought of to do that might move their God. See, their God wasn't the same as Elijah's God. See, the God of unbelief and the gods of destruction, that's not our God. That's not my God. That's not your God. Your God is a God of creation, a God of power, a God of authority, a God that can do something for you, a God that can strengthen you, a God that can heal you, a God that can deliver you, a God that can set you free, a God that can set your neighbor free, a God that can build this church where it's packed out, a God that can do these things. So they got it done with all their praying, and Elijah just backed off and said a 70-word prayer. Now, mind you, and the power of God came down to his sacrifice, his altar, and it took the sacrifice, it took the stones that the altar was built out of, it took the barrels of water that he had poured upon there, and it even licked up the dust. I mean, it cleaned up. God showed him that it really was going to be a clean house that day. What did he do? He told the men, said, we'll take them down by the brook, and they destroyed the prophets that day. But it was all through Elijah's faith. He believed that. He believed that. Elisha believed that when Elijah was taken away from him, Elisha believed that he would get a double portion of Elijah's spirit because he claimed it. He believed that he was going to get twice what Elijah had. And Elijah, when they crossed the river, Elijah turned around to Elisha and he said, what can I do for you? You followed me all around here from town to town to cross the river, and what can I do for you? Elisha says, that I may have a double portion of your spirit. You know, we need to pick out people that's full of faith and ask God, can I have at least what they've got, and maybe give me twice? How many knows it works? It works. You know, we're not lusting when we're doing that. We're asking for something good. Elijah said, you've asked a hard thing. He said, but if you follow me close enough that you see me when I go up, said the mantle will fall and you'll have it. As they marched, I don't believe Elisha took his eyes off of Elijah. Do you? I believe he's watching real close. And pretty soon the fire came by and the chariot came by and it lifted Elijah out and the mantle fell. And Elisha picked it back up and he went back across the river, smote the river, and went across on dry ground in front of all those unbelieving sons of the prophets and those doubters and spouters and all kinds of whatever that they were. The men are sitting there unbelieved. Don't you know your Lord's left you this day? He said, yeah, I know. Here it is. He's got it. Now, he was promised 32 miracles, but he lacked one when he died, Elisha. And everybody thought, well, he didn't get the other one, so that renders the word of God in unbelieving areas. I mean, there's something wrong with it, or he'd have got them all. But Elisha had been dead for years. His flesh had rotted off his bones in a grave. And somehow or other, the grave had got tore up in battles. And there was some soldiers fighting a battle there one day that went through there. And one of these soldiers got killed. And this grave was opened up kind of there where they could throw things down in it. So these two soldiers, they didn't know what to do with this man's body. So they throwed it in the grave on top of Elisha's bones. Wow. Don't you know there was a thing going on? Scrambling around. Pretty soon this guy was scrambling around. He climbed out of the grave. That's the word of God. Had to be fulfilled. Even though he died. He came out of there alive. And that fulfilled Elisha's 32 miracles. When God says something, he makes it good. Has not God said it, and will he not make it good? The thing that we have to do is we've got to have all of us join together in faith. Now, here's the key to it. I can only put 1,000 to flight by myself. But every time another joins perfectly with me, we put 10,000 to flight. It multiplies by tens. Now, that's God's word. That's not my word. I can only do that. Me and Sister Buckner can agree, and we can put 10,000 of the enemy to flight. And somebody said, where is the enemy? All around. He's in here tonight, floating around here, trying to get distraction, you know. You don't see him like you don't see the angels of God. There's angels here, too, but you don't see them. Each one's trying to get their attention. They're trying to listen. But he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit has to say to the church. We've got to have the ear to hear. You've got an ear to hear tonight. God has given you an ear to hear tonight. But there's other things that would try to tamper with your mind and with your ear hearing to get you off track so you won't hear this word. Because he knows if you hear this word, no matter who preaches it, if it's unanointed, if you don't hear this word, he knows that he has broke the faith line. But if we hear this word, he knows he's in trouble. Because it's going to build what? What's it going to build? It's going to build faith in who? Huh? Whosoever. Our faith. It's going to build a faith in whoever hears it. And then it's going to be established in whoever does it. Hearing and doing is the key. So I've preached enough gospel here right here tonight that you ought to be able to whoop the devil all over Sullivan. Every time he raises up his head, let him have it. Every time he says something, let him have it. Let him have what? Let him have some more words. Somebody said, the devil gets around me and bothers me. He won't if you quote scriptures to him. He gets a going fast because he don't like the word. Because the word represents the blood. Remember Jesus, all his blood had come out of his body. And now he's flesh and bone. But then he had something, the spirit moved. And he could eat a fish. And also eat a honeycomb, but he could also walk through that wall. That's what a glorified body is. He done it. He went through the wall. But he eat a honeycomb. He eat a fish. See? A glorified body. God can do anything. We got to believe that. We got to believe that God can do. Now, first, you got to believe that he spoke this earth in existence, and that sun comes up every day, and he said, let there be light. And there was light. That done it. There's no other explanation, scientist or anything else as God, that it was a creation. So God created the heaven and earth. God created you and I. God created the light. God done it. I believe it. I believe it. Nobody can believe it any stronger than I do, because I believe it. I believe every word of it. Amen. Does anybody need prayer tonight?